to him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud noise, for the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment, and the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathered the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen nations. The word nations actually is there. It's just not written in the King James, but that's what it's referring to. That he brings the counsel of the heathen nations to naught. That's those nations that do not acknowledge him. That we'll not probably get to that verse, but I want you to be studying that. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people of whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven, he beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation he looked upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioned their hearts alike. He considered all their works. There is no king saved by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. A horse is a vain thing for safety, neither shall he deliver any of his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our shield, our help, and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let mercy, O Lord, be upon us, according as we hope in thee. If you would join me in prayer once again. Father God, we praise you for your word. We pray over this time of Bible study, this time of worship, Lord, that our hearts would be clean, that our minds would be focused, and Lord, that you would help us to set aside the worries, the stresses of this day and these days that we live. And Lord, that we would be ministered to and that we would glorify you with our acknowledgement of these truths that we read in Scripture, and that you would be blessed and honored by our obedience to what we learned tonight. May we meet with you in a special way tonight, Lord, and be changed. May our lives never be the same because of the presence of God in our heart. Lord, we pray for revival. We pray for an awakening. We pray for this country. We pray for ourselves now, as we draw a circle around ourselves and pray for you to do a mighty work within the circle. And may we focus solely and completely upon you tonight, and may you be glorified by what we do. It's in Jesus' name that we all pray, and all God's people said, amen. We were challenged by the Word of God last week, challenged to worship the one true God of the Bible. We asked ourselves, and hopefully we answered these questions last week, when we asked ourselves, do we praise and worship God? And then we asked the other question, how do we do that? And this week, I guess we could look at why we do that. The reasons for praising God, the reasons for our worship of God. And we ended last week with a statement and acknowledging that to be the truth, that we do not praise God because of our situation or the condition that we find ourselves in. We don't just praise God when things are good and don't praise him when things are bad. Because in most of our lives, there would be very little praise going out because life's not always easy. So we don't praise God because of our situation or our condition, but the children of God praise God for who he is and what he does. And some people might say, how can we know God that way? And the answer is we have the complete Word of God right here. And the complete Word of God reveals God to us, who he is and what he does. And it is the reason that God's not praised in the life of most believers is because they don't have enough knowledge from this Word in their hearts. They don't know God well enough to praise him. They don't have reason enough in their hearts to praise God because they don't know him. But when you see a clear picture of God painted through the Scriptures, especially what we will be looking at in this psalm for the next couple of weeks, this great and mighty God that we serve, and if the picture is painted properly from Scripture and your heart is open to the Word and the working of the Holy Spirit, you will praise God. It's inevitable. It's unstoppable. So let's look at this together as we break down verse by verse, a few verses tonight before we have a time of prayer for the upcoming revival services. Let's look at the first part of this. And I guess if you had to give a title to this series or this next couple of sermons that we'll have, is Worthy to Worship and Worthy to Praise. As we read in verse 4, the word of the Lord is right and all his works are done in truth. Everything in the word of God is right. That would mean that God is right because the word of God is a revelation of God to mankind. So therefore, God is right and his word is right. Whether you deny it or agree with it, it makes no difference. The word of God is right and the God of the word is right. And before you say, I agree with that, check it off your bucket list and say, Roger, let's move on and talk about something else. Let's take a look at ourselves. Do a little soul searching. Do we really believe that the word of God is right? And that all he does is right and done in truth? It's one thing to say we agree with it, but it's another thing for us to live it. And I would have to say and admit in front of you that I don't live it as much as I should, because worry is definitely against this very subject. To worry or have doubt and fear is to go against what the Word of God says, when God says he will never leave you and forsake you, and he will guide you and he will guide your steps. And it's God who is in control. And for us to worry and to doubt is to doubt and worry and doubt God. Every time we disagree with God or the Word of God, we are disagreeing with our Creator. We are sinning. And we do what's right in our own eyes, and that is sin. If you think about it, when we say the Word of God is right, it means the commands of God are right. The law of God is right. The promises of God are right. And because the Word of God is right, it should be a reason for each of us to praise God. But when was the last time that any of us praised God for his word? Truly, we say it and we pray it. But when were we moved in our hearts to give glory and praise to God for his word? I can tell you that there's a lot of it goes on Saturday mornings. I'm just thinking about that. I think about a group of men that gather here early in the mornings, and there is truly praise of God for the word of God. There is. I see it in services. But not as a group. It is such a thing to be in a room full of men where every person in the room is giving praise to God for his word. There's something special about that. And we praise God for that. Just like there's something special about our Wednesday evenings together, our holiness in this place, because God's people are praying together. In this age, we see people who deny the word of God openly. We hear of some that say we need to unhitch from half of it and disregard the Old Testament. That would disagree with the Word of God itself in the New Testament, where in 2 Timothy it says that all Scripture is given by God, God breathed, and it's good and profitable for doctrine and for reproof and correction. It would be disregarding Scripture to say that, but we have that openly said by preachers today, and one of the most influential preachers in our country says that, denying the Word of God. We also hear people say, my God wouldn't do that, wouldn't send people to hell, which challenges the truth of the Word of God. Many people will tell people today, when they share the gospel from pulpits or even one-on-one, say, if you've got problems and you're struggling with something, if you'll come to God, he'll solve all your problems. Implying that when a person comes to God, that their problems will be gone and this life's going to be good for them. And many have believed and followed this prosperity gospel, and which is really not a gospel either. And they do it only to find that the problems come back or they stay. And they accepted the message to have their best life now and to find a life in this world. They find beyond that best life now that it's really not true, that life in this world is hard. And their thinking is that God failed them somehow. This God who they made up in their own mind or was presented falsely, not from the Word of God. And it is important, the message that we present from the Word of God. It's important what we teach, what we accept. because it has to be truth. A little bit of truth with a sprinkling of something that's not true is still a lie. And when we're dealing with the things of God, it is a serious thing to not present the truth. That's why I shake every time I get up here, and I'm sure Stan deals with it in a very serious way. And any who teach will tell you to open the Word of God and present the truths that are contained within is so scary. The Bible says we're held to a higher standard. We'll be judged differently because we handle the truth. That's why Stan and I have talked about, I think it was Stephen Lawson that said this, and we held on to that, that when the man of God speaks from the pulpit, the prayer should be that you hear from God and not us. Because when you hear from us, it's error. When you hear from God, it's the truth. And the truth is important. And there's never been a time when the truth needs to be stood on and proclaimed and held on to and held each other to more than in the days in which we live. These that hold on to this prosperity gospel, these people, which I was one of them at one time, thinking that God had failed them in some way. They developed this anger and venom toward God, and having believed that message that wasn't right, wasn't truth. My friends, the truth is that the Word of God is right, and all that He does is done in truth. And the Word of God says that Jesus came to this world to save sinners out of this world, not for a better life in it. Now, He can make the life better, and that doesn't mean that because you get saved or come to God, doesn't mean life's going to get hard, but it doesn't mean it's going to get better. It means that you're saved for eternity. You're not worrying about these things in this world. You're working toward eternity. The gospel is that all mankind is condemned to an eternity in hell. And God became flesh and came to this earth to pay the penalty for all who repent and believe, and that they might have eternal life and an abundantly have eternal life in the presence of God, not to make them more comfortable in a sin-cursed world that will be judged and destroyed one day. The truth is that Jesus, taking upon Himself the sins of the world, endured the full wrath of God, and He paid the price for the sin, and He imputed His righteousness. He put His righteousness on those who repent and believe, so that they can stand before God. Those who reject Christ remain condemned to an eternity in hell. And the Bible says that this fallen world is the closest thing that they'll have to heaven. To accept other religions and call upon whatever religion it is other than the God of the Bible, and try to say that they find their way to heaven too, is to disregard what the Word of God says when it says Jesus is not a way, but the only way. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And He's the only way. These days we're drawn in to, even in our own denomination, to be accepting. We had a discussion Saturday morning about the bumper stickers that say coexist. We don't accept other religions. We just do not accept them. We would not allow them to be preached from this pulpit because they lead people to hell. Because only those who repent and believe in Christ and trust in Christ will be the ones that are saved. All others are damned to hell. And it's not that we're saying we're better than them. It's like we're calling them out. Don't run into the flames. Come to Jesus. Repent. Turn. Because the way you're going is going to the flames. That's the truth. The gospel, the Word of God is right. The gospel is right. And all of God's works are done in truth. And the truth is what Jesus said two times in the book of Luke. In chapter 3 alone, in verse 3 and verse 5, He says, "Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." That's either true or it's not. Either the Word of God is true when it says Jesus is the only way, or it's not. And if we begin to accept other people, say, well, they're good people, maybe God will consider them. I don't find that in Scripture. Or they're very, very, very adamant about and faithful about their religion and what they pray and what they do. They're really adamant about it and they're really faithful to it. God will take that into consideration. I don't see that in Scripture. Unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. It's either true or it's not. And my friends, if we're going to take the scriptures, we better know the scriptures first so that we know what the truth is, so that we're not led astray. But we need to stand upon it, not accepting these messages of unity and bringing in other religions or bringing the world into the church. We're set apart, called out of the world, called to be the light of the world. We who are children of God can praise God for the Word of God. Because it is true. We can stand on the promises. We can stand on the commands from it. We can stand on it as truth. That one day He's coming back. And He will judge this world in righteousness. And we will rule with Him on high. And that's a reason to praise God. And if that doesn't stir your heart when you come to an understanding of what that is, then you must be dead. We should praise the God because He's give all praise to God because He's given us His Word. And the Word of God is completely reliable. Everything the Word of God says is true about God. It says what it says about us, our sin, and judgment, about Jesus being our Savior and the salvation, and about the future, is all completely true. And we should praise God for it. If you move on to verse 5, it says, He loveth righteousness and judgment, and the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. God's revealed His heart to us in His Word. And all of His characteristics, His attributes, we call them. And because He loves righteousness, whatever He does is right. Because He loves judgment, means that whatever He does is just. God must and will condemn sin and execute perfect justice on every sinner who has not repented. He will judge the world in righteousness. And if we truly understand this, it'll make us tremble and shake. But it also caused us to worship and to praise God that He made us aware of that, that we know for certain we've repented and we can stand before God with confidence knowing, hey, I stand before You, I will be out of the judgment. I won't be judged by Him. And as a result of that, He's filled the earth with His goodness, it says. Mercy, kindness, unfailing love, all in this world. God created this earth to be a wonderful place for humanity. Humanity sinned and brought the curse upon it. But even though this world is cursed and full of sin, the goodness of God is still seen in creation so that those who reject Christ, the Bible says, are without excuse. Romans 1 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." We praise God because He is righteous. We praise God because He is just. And we praise God because we live in a cursed world, but it's full of His goodness. Our next breath, He holds in His hand. He gives that. That's a gift from God, and we don't understand that. We expect it to be there. And when your last one comes, you'll expect the next one. It won't be there. One day, it'll be the last one. And you go to be the presence of God. But we should thank God for the life we have. Thank God that we're born in a free country like the United States, and we don't have to stand in lines for food. We're not in some third world country. We're not running around somewhere where we're living in a hut. We praise God that we live in this free country that we live in. We have the family we have. God gave us our family. We should praise God for that's the goodness of God. Praise God for this church and the people around you. That's the goodness of God. A believer is different because they praise God. They are aware of the goodness of God that's in this world. And we should give God praise. Not wallow in fear and doubt and worry over everything. We submit to God who is good and right and just. Who will do everything He says He will. He will accomplish all of His will. And we praise God for His Word. We praise God for the creation. And we praise God for who He is. God revealed Himself in creation, and He reveals himself in Jesus Christ, his Son. There's no other spot on earth, no other time where God's unfailing love for mankind was more visible than on Calvary. He who was righteous and just placed our sin on his back, and the Father punished him for us. He took it for us. That should make a child of God praise God. When the church of God begins to acknowledge God for who he is and what he does, and begins to praise God and exalt God and worship God in a way that is in spirit and in truth. See, we do a lot of praising of God, a lot of worship of God that's only done in our minds, only done with our physical bodies and then our minds intellectually showing up. But when's the last time you had your heart rocked by the Spirit of God? Your heart just melted because the Word of God penetrated your heart and you began to praise God and thank Him for His Word. Thank Him for the goodness of God that you see around you. Thank you. Thank Him for praising Him for the creation that you live, the next breath you have, the awareness of who God is. We, as believers, we are to walk in the awareness of God in all that we do. We're to give glory in all that we do. But yet, we have this button inside of us as believers, and it's unfortunate that we do this because it's the culture that we walk out of church, and we turn that button off. The Word of God's for Sunday and Wednesday nights if we come. And maybe for Sunday school. But we're to engulf ourselves in the Word of God so that we might know God and give glory to God in all that we do. We don't walk around with a Bible in front of us. We don't have to because we have the Word in our hearts, hidden, walking in a way that we don't sin against Him. Giving praise and glory to God in all that we do. Whether it's at work or at home, whatever it is, praising God for who He is. I want to stop there. I don't want to jump into the next one before we do that, because I want us to take the time to gather together and pray for our upcoming services. But we asked that question when we began the series on praising God, this call to worship that Psalm 33 has led us to. And we asked ourselves, do you praise God? Why do you praise Him? The answer tonight is for who He is and what He does. And you wonder how you should know God so well. It is amazing that people could come to church, hear the Word of God, and not praise God. It's amazing that we could sit alone at home and in prayer, lift our hearts to God and read Scripture and not praise God. If you can't praise Him, if you're not praising Him, then you may not know Him. Because when you see Him and all His glory and splendor and power, what He does and who He is, you'll give all praise and all glory to Him when you see Him for who He is. Let's pray. Father God, we praise You now for Your Word. And Lord, we exalt Your name in all that You are and all that You do. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You that You created this world in such a way, Lord, that we can see You. And Lord, thank You that we are in this country we are in and that this particular time in history where we can come together at Liberty Baptist Church. Thank You for our friends, our family. Thank You for our very breath. We praise You tonight for who You are, full of grace and mercy and justice and righteousness. And we exalt Your name. May we be a reflection of You in this dark world. And may You be glorified by the praise of Your people. We pray this in Jesus' name. We'll take a time right now.